Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of OEM TV. I'm Eric Mills, I do Windows Server Marketing at Microsoft, and I am thrilled to be bringing you an episode on Windows Server 2016 and the productivity enhancements and changes that you should be thinking about as you're thinking about upgrading or migrating to Windows Server 2016. I am joined today by Paul Morse. Paul's a Microsoft trainer that I work really closely with, and this is the first time to have him on OEM TV. How you doing today, Paul?
Very good. Thank you, Eric.
All right, good to be here. Good. Welcome to the show. Should be a good one. Can you tell the audience what you do as a Microsoft trainer and a little bit more about your background?
Oh, my. Certainly. Currently, what I've been doing in the last couple of years is actually training Microsoft's LSPs and OEMs on a wide variety of technologies. So my perspective is very broad. I train on Azure, Office 365, CRM Online, Windows Server 2016, SQL Server 2016, and Windows 10. And also, you know, get into the technology, try to explain the technology to primarily telesellers and technical people in those organizations, and then the licensing behind it, you know, how the products fit together and do demos and those types of things. I also have been a featured speaker for like a 15-city roadshow to partners in the SMB space on CRM Online. And my history, boy, it goes quite a ways back. I think I was certified on NT351 and then became an SNA Server trainer. And then that led me to be the SNA Server product manager inside Microsoft in the Windows Server division, and on and on. I've done a wide variety of things that are pretty inventive as well. You know, sometimes you have to create solutions with Windows Server, and they're a little bit offbeat to accomplish something. So. Yeah, so lots of stuff, and there's okay. Even more. I don't think we have enough time.
All right, well, we'll give you more time on another show. That was great. You know, I'll let the audience know that when Paul speaks and does these trainings for us, we get excellent feedback for him. So he's got a great reputation as someone that's able to understand the technology and then explain it in a way that's very consumable. So we're really thrilled to have you on the show here, Paul. And let's go ahead and get into the meat of the conversation here, which is all about productivity and IT efficiency. So with Server 2016 just launching last month, the general availability was October 12th, not that long ago. What should people be thinking about in terms of productivity and IT efficiency, and how has it changed with Windows Server 2016?
Wow, great question. You know, to me, because I have this broad view, I break it down into three basic areas. So there's the administrator capabilities, and we'll talk more about those. Then kind of the end user benefits, and then those combine to provide benefits overall for the business. In other words, you just don't adopt technology for technology's sake. It has to do something for the business. So from an admin perspective, there actually is a lot there. There's a significant amount if you really drill down. And the first thing to me is, you know, the ability to manage multiple Hyper-V environments and multiple servers from Server Manager of different versions, right? That's a big deal because people are going to be mixed mode for some period of time, and they need to have that capability. Now, one of the things, because we're OEM here, talking OEM, is, you know, it's really important to consider refresh as well. So what can the newer hardware bring in terms of productivity too? So this kind of falls into the end user perspective. So a lot of the new systems have 10 gigabit built in. They also are being offered with SSD, which brings in the overall storage spaces and storage spaces direct, the new SMB3 enhancements, and on, so that the end users in environments where they need to transfer large files or open large files, like whether that's X-rays or architectural diagrams, whatever it may be, a patient record, they can be delivered to the end user faster than, say, an older network and spinning disk systems. The new processors from Intel also, you know, with multiple cores and on, allow them to handle more users per server. So there's actually some significant capabilities in Windows Server 2016 that they can take advantage of with that hardware to improve the overall productivity of the environment. Now, I know you had a session on security because that's a big part of this, but every organization of every size, and I kind of also, you know, when you look at admin, user, and business, benefits, you kind of have to look at also kind of interface the SIC code with the size of the business and on. So there are different benefit levels for different size businesses. And some of these benefits go all the way down into the smallest businesses. So a hardware refresh with an improved network would actually benefit a small real estate office, as well as, you know, the high end of SMB, if you will, which is, you know, 250 users. So that's one area. There are many others in terms of if they start getting into a larger size. So it's unlikely that a small doctor's office or a small real estate office would use something like containers. And but if you start getting even a little bit larger, where an organization is running multiple applications on older servers, again, this goes back to the old Hyper-V argument, the old virtualization argument, that they can consolidate some number of those servers onto newer hardware. But with containers, that is taken even a step further. And a container being nothing more than essentially a lightweight virtual machine. The container only has the application and essentially the libraries that are necessary for it to run. And you can, because and if you're comparing that with a virtual machine, the virtual machine's got, you know, the OS, it's got the full set of APIs, it could be a fully loaded GUI OS, which makes it very large. And then obviously the application on top of that. So containers are significantly lighter. And that means they can move between machines faster, they can move out of storage faster, they can consume less memory when they are running. And so those organizations that do want to say, you know, switch out applications, meaning at the end of the month they have some application that runs, you know, that crunches the numbers or is a database that's not used very often, they can actually create scripts and via the containers move that container onto the system, use it for 20 minutes, 50 minutes, whatever, and then move it off very, very quickly. And they can all, because of the lightweight aspect, they can have more containers running on a single system than they could virtual machines. And I don't have the statistics in front of me, but they're in terms of the size of the containers, how fast they start and on, the difference between virtual machines and containers is absolutely significant. Now, there's two, I guess we'll go into this, there's two basic types of containers, meaning there are containers that can run inside the operating system. So basically you have the hardware, the kernel, meaning the OS layer, and then the containers basically sit on the OS layer. Then there's also Hyper-V containers. And so you can actually have containers that are running in Hyper-V. There's another aspect as well where you can actually have containers running in an operating system inside Hyper-V. So there's a significant number of options that people can use, and you can use all three at the same time depending upon what you want to do. Now, many people have asked, well, why would I actually run them in Hyper-V? Why would I run a container in Hyper-V or even run it in an operating system inside of Hyper-V? And let's take the operating system inside of Hyper-V first, because I think that one's kind of the most interesting. So if I have a virtual machine that really is got the heavy OS and we need that for some reason, and then the containers that are on top of that, they're entirely pre-configured configuration, right? And it's an overall application set, could be, and I'll just use an example of a three-tier web app, right? So it's got the web front end, it's got the application layer, and it's got the back end database. And for some reason they want that to run in, say, a shielded virtual machine. And so I know you guys talked about security, but that would mean that every aspect of that virtual machine and that application is encrypted at the disk level, which really isn't possible in you know, containers that are running on the operating system itself. So then to have that as a as really a single entity, the entire operating system with the containers, and have that all be encrypted, so that no one can get to it other than those that are authorized to do so, like on the drive. That's actually pretty cool. That's a pretty cool solution in certain situations where, you know, compliance is an issue, regulation is an issue, high levels of security are an issue, but they still want to use containers for some purpose.
All right, great. Well, you're touching on a lot of really good stuff there, Paul. I appreciate the details. We're definitely going to have to do a whole episode, maybe a couple of episodes, about containers, because they do enable a whole new level of just productivity and efficiency, and just another set of options for people to deploy their workloads into. So a lot of people are definitely excited about containers and just having that extra option to be much more efficient if they want it. You touched on mixed mode with Hyper-V Manager a little bit. Can you tell us more about that? Because I think a lot of people are you know, considering Windows Server 2016 and how that might run with their existing environment.
Right. So the mixed mode environment, right? So people have a Server 2012 R2. They are running Hyper-V, and they're managing that environment to essentially the way they do. Then if they introduce a Windows Server 2016 environment, it's like, how do I natively manage it? So if it's a larger organization and they've got Virtual Machine Manager or System Center, then that's not a problem. But being able to see that, see those other Hyper-V managers and those other servers, you need to have a mixed mode management concept, and Windows Server 2016 brings that to the table, and I don't believe that was possible in the past.
Okay, yeah. Great. And so you also talked about hardware refresh, and I want to dig into that a little bit, because the operating system, as great as it may be, doesn't do much without some awesome hardware. We've got our server OEMs making really great server hardware that's, you know, tested, certified, and supported with Windows Server 2016. And could you talk a little bit more about, you know, what that new hardware will bring to the table with Windows Server 2016, and why hardware refresh might be the right thing to do rather than just trying to upgrade an operating system?
Right, sure. From my perspective, and I've played with a wide range of hardware, and I've made some mistakes in hardware purchases in the past. Yeah, I know. Who does that? But especially and with the OEMs that I've talked to so far, they do recognize that there is, you know, the old, and I'm not going to mention vendor names, but there are some systems that are out there that are, you know, let's say they're 8 to 10 years old. And the response I get in my talks is like, yeah, so the 8 to 10, yeah, of course, you know, right. There's a lot that's even older hanging out there.
Sure.
The point being that even though, and this is the catcher on some of these, even though the processor may be capable of virtualization, the BIOS in that system won't allow it. So now you're kind of stuck. You have this unbelievably cool set of new technologies, and okay, so I just made this statement about it's an unbelievably set of cool technologies, but it is. You know, Windows Server 2016 is just an awesome package of features. It is to the point where, you know, it obviates or negates everything that kind of came before it. There's so much technology, there's so much capability that is valuable to businesses. And if it doesn't take advantage, if it can't take advantage of the hardware can't do, vice versa, if the hardware can't take advantage of the operating system, then you lose. I mean, you're really losing out on the potential and the value that's in that in Windows Server 2016. So that one example of not being able to take advantage of virtualization is a small one, because also those systems will have a lower core count.
Sure.
Right? Because there's so much old, and they would probably be slower. The bus speeds would be slower as well. So even if you did say, oh, we're going to just put SSDs in there and everything will be fine. No, not necessarily, because the backplane speed is still slow.
Right.
These new systems are just, they just smoke. You know, DDR4 memory, SSDs, and with Windows Server 2016, the ability to have tiered storage. So, you know, have a PCIe drive in it. Also then have, and I'm going to build you some demos on this, a PCIe drive, and then also SSDs, and then spinning disk if you want. But even the spinning disk at 15,000 SAS drive, even or a really, really high-speed SATA drive, those are fairly fast. And so this comes back to that upgraded hardware. Okay, so that upgraded hardware and the combination of Windows Server 2016, and then even take that to a relatively small office, okay, and show it to them. And go, look, here's you're an architectural firm. Let's put some architectural diagrams on this server, because tower servers are small, getting smaller all the time, and they could be brought into that office for a demo, or have the people come into your facility and show them this and say, look, this is what Windows 10 connected to Windows Server 2016 does with your documents, you know, on new hardware. Their eyes will bug out. Right? the difference in speed and overall efficiency, which comes back to productivity, I call this, you know, it's basically the workflow. And so it's wait time and workflow. So you really want to get down and measure this. If someone has to sit there and wait for a document to load, and they have to wait 5 seconds, you know, you aggregate that over time, and all of a sudden you've lost man years for people just waiting for documents, especially if that's the only thing they can do in the moment. In other words, they can't move forward and do anything else unless that document's open. That concept of being able to deliver documents down the network very, very quickly off of disk drives to that end user is really impressive when people see it. You know, I've done those demos many times, and it's like, well, they ask questions like, do you mean that this happens all the time? And it's like, yeah, it's not just kind of a one-off for you.
Yeah.
It's actually, this is how it works. And even to go further, and I called this speed pod computing, the ability to throw in InfiniBand or 40 gigabit network adapters and use that speed judiciously. In other words, put it between two servers where it really makes sense, or put it between 2, 4, 10, however number of users really need that speed. And it's mind-blowing, you know. Sure. For video processing, large file transfer, and so that's the end user, kind of the end user perspective. Now, if we get into the admin perspective of that high speed networking and the capabilities of Windows Server 2016, you know, the ability to have containers fly across the network much faster than you ever thought possible. Even entire virtual machines to fly across the network faster than you've seen before. And you know, in large data centers, in cloud scale data centers, that high-speed networking is relatively common. You know, it just has to be. In the SMB space, it's not. But you'd be amazed at what, you know, the newer hardware with the you know, better bus speeds, solid-state drives, and even super high-speed networking can just transform the productivity in an organization. And then, you know, getting back to the admin, if the admin wants to use PowerShell, desired state configuration, and set those systems up in a certain way so that they don't deviate from that. I mean, we'd have to go through a lot of discussion here on the specifics of what people could do from an admin perspective to increase their productivity, which the stuff just didn't exist 5 years ago. It didn't exist with the last version of server. It didn't exist with the last iteration of the hardware per se. Now there's one other aspect, and maybe you can help me on this one. One of the reasons I think that people should upgrade as well is from a security perspective, or to refresh the hardware and upgrade to Windows Server 2016 is from the security perspective. One of the things that is required is a virtual machine for a credential guard. Now, if your system isn't capable of doing that type of virtualization, then you can't get the benefits of that security. And I would say, you know, look, people, just upgrade your systems based on the security aspect alone. And then if the productivity gets enhanced 2-3 times, that's great. But most organizations today, and they better be thinking about it, they need to be secure. And natively, Windows Server 2016 brings, and again, you've had that other discussion, so I don't need to go into it, but brings some security aspects to the table that also didn't exist in the past, and they're necessary moving forward. They're just absolutely necessary. And the sooner people do that, the better.
Absolutely. In the last episode, if you didn't catch that, we covered all the major new security features. We're going to go into those in more detail in the future, but there's just so much new stuff in Server 2016. We're covering as quickly as we can. But yes, a lot of good new stuff in security, just-in-time administration, shielded virtual machines, host guardian services, included in the box with malware detection. There's a ton of new good stuff that really is going to make a difference for people. And Paul, you're talking about a lot of really good stuff within productivity also, you know, end users as well as IT. And when you can increase IT's efficiency and agility, they start being viewed more as a business partner to the rest of the company rather than just a cost center. And speed really does matter. You know, a lot of people that aren't that technical look at all the speeds and feeds of a server, and they think, maybe I don't get it, but they sure like everything to be fast. Mm-hmm. And many companies, their biggest expense is people, right? And when you have expensive people, you want to do whatever you can to make those people as productive as possible. And one of the best things that you can do is ensure that they have access to all the online resources, that they're easy to find, that they're fast to retrieve, that there's an organized system for sharing the resources within the company. And servers are the way to do that. So a lot of good stuff that you touched on there. I appreciate that. So we still have more to talk about within productivity and IT efficiency, but in the interest of time, we're going to have to shut this episode down and do another one.
No,
really look forward to. Yeah, we got to do it, Paul. We got to do it. So we have a lot more to talk about with containers, with clustering, with storage spaces, and some of the storage spaces direct functionality that you talked about. So we will cover those in future episodes. For now, Paul, I want to say thank you so much for your insights and your thoughts around IT efficiency and productivity. I think it's an important topic that people need to know about. And you know, the more that we can do to raise awareness about how to be more productive and how to give people the tools that they need, the happier everyone is going to be with their new technology purchases.
Thank you. Right.
So yeah, thanks again, Paul. And that wraps it up for this episode of OEM TV. We'll see you next time.